joining us in the name of Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. We give a shout to the Lord. We've been talking about so many blessings. The Lord's been just pouring out on us, and people receiving Christ, people being delivered from darkness, and provision. Wow. We've got a lot to thank God for, and we want to thank you folk online for giving. And part of what we're rejoicing about today is folk giving that watch us online. And you're such an encouragement to the body of Christ here. And, man, we're seeing God do some great things with this. And I want to thank you for giving. I want to encourage you to give. And I know there's a lot of you watching online. And, you know, no gift is too small. We celebrate and thank God for any gift. And there is a principle in Scripture. We do want you to give. And but you'll never hear us do the begging or do the emotional arm twisting. You know, we just don't believe in that. We believe the Lord prompts your heart to give. And as the Lord prompts your heart, you simply obey that prompting, sensitive to His prompting, and you give. And we do want you to give. There's a blessing in giving. That's Bible. That's the heartbeat of God, and He loves that. And there is a principle that, you know, wherever you get fed, you need to sow where you get fed. And boy, I'm not taking anything away from a local church. I've given my life away to local church. And so we dare don't want to do that. But if you're any place that I practice receiving from or any ministry, I practice sowing. And because, you know, if you're receiving, that means that's good soil. And it's good to sow seed in good soil. Amen? Well, it's hard for me not to preach a sermon. We're kicking off a new series. And I hear shouts all across the airwaves. But we're kicking off a new series today. It's the powerful principle of meditation. And you grab a hold of this principle. I've just told our saints here that it would take a miracle in reverse for the kingdom of God not to multiply in your life. I'm talking 30, 60, 100 folk. Are you interested in this? I want to tell you, if you grab this, you'll see transformation in your life. And you'll see it happen more by the Spirit's working. I started to say by accident, but I don't like that. We don't believe in luck, do we? But you'll see the Lord do more by His Spirit in your life by learning to meditate on God and His Word than what you've tried to do for years or for decades. It's exciting. That mountain that you think have been planted in your life that's just going to be there till you go to heaven, you learn to practice the principle of meditating on God in His Word. You know, I'm careful how I say that because the world is a copycat. The enemy is a copycat. And there's a lot that the enemy and the world says about meditation. It's just wrong. But God's the one that invented it. And so don't go with the copycat. Let's go with the real. And the difference in the real is what you focus on and what you meditate on. And so we don't believe in meditating on the fuzz in your navel. I don't know where I got that. That's not in the notes. Let me go ahead and jump. Don't empty your mind. That's one of the things that the world says, the enemy says. Empty your mind. No, you don't do that. The Bible says to guard your mind. And you focus your mind on God. And when you focus your mind and you meditate on God in His Word, then I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit comes to reveal God to you. You get revelation. I've told the saints already this morning that it's like education, because you got to have knowledge. I mean, knowledge is a part of it. A proverb says, seek knowledge, seek understanding, and seek wisdom. And you get some knowledge, but you don't just leave it there. That's where the education system stops. That's where the church begins. We don't end with education. We don't end with knowledge. That's just the beginning. And I want to tell you, we go from there to meditating on God in His Word, and then you get revelation. So it's education, meditation, revelation. You like that? Oh, I want to tell you, that's very, very powerful. We're going to show you in this series how to do that. But first, we're going to convince you to do it, and this is an introduction to the message. Next week, we kick off full speed. So be sure and tune in next week, and let's grasp this and watch the transforming power of the kingdom in your life. Amen? All right. One of the important statements in this series is to let the main thing be the main thing. I say that because let Jesus be the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. And there's so many different things that you can focus on in church life, in kingdom life, in world life. And a lot of the stuff in world life, even the church will call good, or at least okay. But I'm telling you, one of the dangers for a believer is to be too distracted and to try to focus on more than a few things at a time. But you got to let Jesus be the priority and let Jesus be the main thing. And when you let Jesus be the main thing, it's amazing what all God can do. Put Jesus first. Seek ye first the King and the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. But it's very, very important. As a matter of fact, you can get so busy doing good things that you can miss God. All right? One of the things, and I want to tell you, you may be at the place in your Christian life, and it's great to grow to the place that maybe some serious dark temptation you would laugh at. You would not respond to. But the enemy could trick you in getting so busy in good things that the world calls good that you can miss the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, we're going to have a good look at this. The success of seed. See, this is about kingdom agriculture. This is first grade in kingdom agriculture. As a matter of fact, this is children's church level stuff. But Jesus said, if you don't get this, you're going to miss a lot. And so you don't want to miss this. And I just want you to remember that the success of the seed depends on the soil. If you got good seed and bad soil, it's not going to produce. Jesus talked about that. As a matter of fact, he said that, and let me encourage you to understand, because Jesus had to explain it to the disciples, and we keep it simple, saints. That's about as deep as I can get, but I'm announcing to you that when you look at the word soil in the scriptures we're going to look at, the soil means your heart. All right? So let's get that down real clear. The soil means, exactly, it means your heart. And and there's four different types of soil. I'm announcing to you there's four different types of heart. And I want to tell you, I almost put a percentage with it. I could almost say to you after four decades of ministry that, you know what, this pretty well lines up with what I've seen in the body of Christ, that there are about 25% of the folk that have a hard heart. And a hard heart is talking about a path, because they would broadcast the seed. It would be like in a bag or what we would call a sack, and they would cast the seed out, and it would broadcast. That's what broadcast means. It's sowing the seed. And they would toss it like that in a manner and walk along. And some of the seed would fall along a hard path. And that's hard-heartedness, the hard path. You know, if you throw seed on a sidewalk, it's not going to grow. That's a hard heart. And I want to tell you, it's real easy for the enemy to come and steal that seed. As a matter of fact, Jesus described it like birds of the air come, and the birds of the air represent darkness. Darkness comes to steal the seed, and it's an easy steal because it's not been planted. And then there's another heart called, I'm calling the hollow heart. It could be called the shallow heart or the hollow heart. And you know what? That just absolutely represents flesh. There's a lot of flesh. And I want to tell you, if you're more about flesh, and immaturity speaks of flesh, but if you're all about flesh, then I want to tell you the word's not going to reproduce like it should. A hollow heart is going to be a shallow heart. It's going to be shallow soil. All right? And then there's another heart that's called the half heart. I call the half heart. It's the heart of the world. And I've got more pastors here to come sit by you than you know of. So let's all be alert. Stay alert, nobody hurt. That's an old saying. It doesn't apply to church life, but okay. Here we go, Mark 4:19. Are you with me in Mark 4:19? Are you with me? Okay, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. Do you see that? Man, I want to tell you, we're bombarded because at this level. We're bombarded with the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age. Boy, there's a lot of distractions out there. Okay, guess who's behind that? To distract you from Jesus, okay? And the pleasures. Boy, there's a lot of pleasures. I'm telling you what, there's believers that completely seek pleasure. Their life is just about pleasure. Well, I'm saved, and so I know I'm going to heaven, so until I get there, I'm going to party down until I get there. Just eat, drink, be merry till Jesus comes. Well, there's a whole lot more to life than that. The delight and false clamor and deceitfulness of riches. Well, I'm telling you, I'm speaking to the United States of America, and it fits. All right? And the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in. Somebody say, sneak on in. Yeah, that's what happened. It sneaks in. If this passion or desire or anxiety would show up with a, in a red suit with a pitchfork, long tail, you'd say, whoa, 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 whoa. But it's not like that. This passion shows up as a friend and says, this is good and it's okay and it's not too bad. And, you can dedicate yourself to this. But these other things creep in, and what happens is they choke and suffocate the word. Wow. This is half-heartedness. They choke and suffocate the word, and look at this. It becomes fruitless. Now, I'm sharing this with you because there's a lot of believers who have been believers for years, okay? And, they've been at a certain level for a year, and they've not grown. And here they are, they've heard the same messages and heard the same principles, and they know the word about as well as the pastor does. But you know what? Listen to me. They cannot describe fruit in their life. They wonder sometimes, what about me? Looks like the Lord's overlooked me. When is he going to bless me? When am I going to experience the abundant life? When am I going to walk in peace and walk in love and walk in anointing that other people describe and talk about? Where's my blessing? Where's my breakthrough? And I'm telling you what it is. It's not God. It's you. It's not the seed. It's the soil. And so I'm here to share with you that this is so important and that it's very, very important that we absolutely take this. We become good soil for the good seed to be in. There's a lot more to come on that today. So, I'm going to share with you two things that are vital for you to grow and to mature. Because it's God's desire and God's plan for you to grow and mature. God never designs for somebody to remain a baby their whole life. Okay? Hey, the decades of being a spiritual baby and somebody else changing you and burping you and giving you milk of the word just to help you survive, those days are over. We're in the last days. And if there's ever a time to grow, it's right now. If it's ever a time to get serious about God, it's right now. And when you look at your life and you got the same mountains, the same problems that you've had for decades, and you haven't experienced any victory over those, then I want to tell you there's fruitlessness in your life. And it's not because of the seed, it's because of the soil. But we can do something about that. Everybody here can, because this is the way God's designed it. These two things are love life and his word. Boy, this is not deep. Like I said, it's children's church. But I want to tell you, your love life with the Lord, hey, the main thing is to getting to know him better. You know what? That's what Paul said, this one thing. I know that there's Christians that brag on their being able to focus on many things. What do you call that when you can focus on many things? Yeah, multifaceted. There's another one. Multitasking. See, y'all know it real well, don't you? I want to tell you, that's not kingdom. He never designed you to be a champion at multitasking. As a matter of fact, it needs to be real clear about what the main thing is. And we need to focus on the things that are pure, the things that are holy, the things that honor Jesus, the things that bring him honor and glory. If you focus your life and give your attention to a number of different things that are not about the kingdom of God, not about promoting Jesus, not about growing in Jesus, I want to tell you, you're a distracted person. Amen, Brother Tim. That's great preaching. Love life with the Lord. And I want to tell you, that's what happens. You know, when you receive Christ, you're in love with Him. You fall in love with Him. You experience the love of Jesus, a love that you didn't earn, a love that you don't deserve. And it's just divine love, the Father, the Lord Jesus loving on you. And I want to tell you, people walk a couple steps at a time. It's just beautiful. But I want to tell you, God gives you His love life. And He wants you to grow in His love life. He never designed you to grow out of love. And for people to stand up and tell you, well, it's exciting when you first receive Christ, but it's not exciting after that. You just mature on into boredom. Well, that's a lie. That's people that's missing out. I want to tell you, the love life with Jesus ought to be continually fresh. All right? Ought to be exciting. And I'll just go ahead and say, if your marriage has become bored, you're in danger. Okay, same principles. With relationship, I'm announcing to you, if your Jesus life, your walk with God has become boring, you're dangerous. You're in danger. Okay, we're going to share with you how to keep your walk fresh. Are you interested? And so your love life with the Lord helps make healthy soil to receive the seed of the Word of God. And our purpose is to get to know Him better. Paul said that. He said this is the one thing. This is the main goal. This one thing I focus on is to know Him better, to grow deeper and deeper in His love. That's God's desire for us, is to get to know Him better, the depths of His love. And, you know, praise and thanksgiving is a part of that. Focusing on His goodness is a part of that. We got series on all that. But I was sharing with a pastor in Central Texas this week, and I was sharing with him spiritually, but he asked me about his yard because he had been away for a couple months and come back, and he had weeds everywhere. He said, I have a weed yard. I said, I understand. You know what you need? Weed and feed. And it really hit me quickly because I'd never said this before. I said, your love life with Jesus is the weed feed. Weed and feed. It kills the weeds and it promotes growth. It promotes good soil for good seed and it helps kill the weeds. Your love life. And so if your love life has faltered, we need to renew it. And Jesus renews your love life. You just bring it to Him. I had in a meeting one time, I had a man stand up and said, well, I'm just going to confess that I was in love with the Lord at one time, but I'm not now, and my heart's cold, and I'm dry with God. I said, thank you for saying that. He said, well, what do I do? I said, confess it right now. He already knows it, but agree with Him that that's wrong, and you want to be in His righteousness, His rightness. And you know what? It's the Lord's will and the Lord's desire to touch you afresh. And He will do that tonight. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You just turn your heart to Him and He'll do it. And that night, he was refreshed and renewed. Why? Because of Jesus. That's what He does. And that's what He wants. If the devil deceives you into thinking that you're to have a cold heart and you don't deserve a fresh walk with the Lord, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. Whose report are you going to believe? I think I'm preaching in the right place. Love life kills the weeds and feeds the seed, the good soil, the good seed and good soil. And so that's very, very important for us. Like, if you're bored, you're dangerous. I wrote an article back in the 80s for teenagers, a little tract, and I cannot find it. That means I wasn't a good steward of it, but it went in a lot of places. But it was called the boredom cycle. That's dangerous. Okay, we're to help keep our heart renewed and refreshed and not become bored. The kingdom operates on His love. And if what you're doing is not about the love of Jesus, listen to me now. You say, well, this is my hobby. This is my passion's really for something else, and my hobbies are this and this and this. And listen to me, I'm telling you, if it's not about the kingdom of God, if it's not about the love of Jesus, then I'm announcing to you, you know, hey, it may be good, it may be okay, but let me tell you, let me announce, it's going to burn. It's going to burn. It's not going to heaven with you. There's no credit of that in heaven. It's going to burn. Okay, Bible's real clear. Even what's done in the name of church, if it's not filtrated with, infused with, motivated by the love of Jesus, it don't count. I don't care how many people applaud. I don't care how many likes you get on the book of faith. I'm telling you, it don't count. passions of this world will cause you to be distracted. You know what it does? We just read it, Mark 4:19. It chokes out the Word of God. Hey, do you dare let your life passions absolutely quench the Word of God into fruitlessness in your life? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Let me go ahead and announce to you real quickly, because I'm going to say it a couple times today. There is no fruit without root. Wow, Lord Jesus. Do you want your life passions to quench the kingdom in your life? Do you want the main thing that you focused on in this life, your whole life on earth, do you want it to burn? Or do you want it to be good soil? Because I want to tell you, if you present good soil to the Lord for and take in and plant good seed, then I want to tell you the kingdom life will reproduce 30, 60, 100-fold in your life. And that's for anyone that will receive it. Amen. Okay, so the next thing I want to say is the power of His Word. And that's where this series is going to be on. But it doesn't work without love life. Nothing in the kingdom works without love life. His Word, I want to tell you, 90% of God speaking to me is through the Word. As a matter of fact, that's how I can confirm that the whispers of the Holy Spirit to me are from God, because 90% of what I hear is the Word of God, and whatever the Holy Spirit says to me confirms the character and nature of God in His Word. If it's outside of His character and nature, that's not God. I don't care if an angel comes to say it to you. We got to be clear about this. And so it helps me recognize what's of God and what's not. It protects me from what's of God and what's not. It helps keep me from being deceived of what's of God and what's not. If the vast majority of your hearing from God is through the Word of God. And so hearing the Word is very, very important. Faith cometh by hearing. Reading the Word of God is very, very important. I'm amazed when I minister, because we minister to other churches, other pastors. I'm amazed when you get down to the nitty-gritty how many of them are not in the Word on a daily basis. I want to tell you, there's no room for that in the kingdom. And I want to tell you, if I could go back, because I've had staff for over 4 decades, because I started out in evangelism, but I also had youth ministries going on. And if I could go back, and sometimes people ask me, if you would change anything, would you change it? And I'm amazed that the people say, no, I would not. I tell you what I say, yes, I would. Because, boy, I've missed on some things. And one of the things that I missed on is by calling anybody and everybody that had an interest in ministry, calling them a pastor or calling them an elder. Boy, at one time I had 13 elders. I couldn't keep up with them, much less the church. My entire time was spent ministering to them. And that's okay. But I want to tell you, look, just because someone's heart turned toward the Lord and they're saying they want to serve God, don't call them a pastor. As a matter of fact, I would disqualify, if I could go back, anybody who was not saturating themselves in the Word, I wouldn't call them a pastor. Because I spent a couple of decades working with youth pastors. And what I would do if I went back is I'd say, okay, thank God that you want to work with teens. But I'm not going to call you a youth pastor. We're going to call you a youth leader. You're going to be a youth leader. Because a pastor is someone who shepherds with the Word of God. And if you're not receiving the Word of God, you can't minister the Word of God. And all the youth leaders said. You see, it's not just youth. It's any ministry. It's any ministry. Children, praise and worship, senior saints. Huh? I'm telling you, if you're a senior saint pastor, you need to know more than how to get the games together and the meals together. Well, you need to be the Word of God. Amen, Brother Tim. Okay, reading the Word of God and meditating on God in the Word. This is such an important key, because you can get the facts from the Word of God and completely miss. So what? You've heard me say it. You probably know what I'm going to say. So what that Daniel had size 10 sandals? I don't wear size 10. But there are people that will read the Bible for the informational facts and think that they've got it because they studied some facts. No. You can know all the facts and miss Jesus. That's why we say focus on God in the Word. You see, you show me about Daniel's God because that's my God. You show me the way he worked with Daniel and how he protected Daniel from lions because I get surrounded by lions sometime. Okay, do you understand that? And so there's a whole lot more to it that you don't get unless you meditate on God and the Word. It needs to be a personal revelation, not just something you get off somebody else's plate. It needs to be a person, not by what your big mama told you or what your teacher told you, what your pastor told you. You need to know what God's saying to you. His love life and his word are the most important ingredients for spiritual growth and a fruitful life. Okay, let's look at some word. You ready? How about Joshua 1:8? You're going to hear that a few times in this series. As a matter of fact, you're going to be an expert on this verse by the time we get through. Probably be a short series. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Now let's take a time out. Let's go back and look at the word depart. Because sometimes people just swing by that. Because it just sounds good. And I say, no, the Holy Spirit doesn't waste words. The book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. Now what does that mean? When I looked up depart, it goes like this, to withdraw. In other words, you're not to take it in and then take it out real quick. Have you ever fed a baby where stuff goes in and then it comes out real quick? Okay, they don't get the nutrition. That's what the Bible is saying. Don't take it in and spit it out. All right? It means to cease. Do not let the Word of God cease. Don't let it stop. Okay? Hey, listen, I could bring a banana up here and eat it, but if I just kept it in my mouth, I wouldn't get the full nutrition. It has to be swallowed. It has to be absorbed. It needs to become a part of you. Somebody say amen. That's what meditation does. Don't let it cease. Don't let it be removed. To be removed is what it means. Don't let it be taken away. That's what it means. And we've already seen in Mark chapter 4 that the enemy wants to come and take away the Word of God. So, don't speak it and forget it. You see, you've probably heard your mama say, what I told you went in one ear and out the other. Well, what the Bible's saying, what happens sometimes when we hear the word, it goes in our ear and comes right out our mouth. We say amen to it and nothing else happens. You know what amen means? It means so be it. Okay? So it's very, very important. Don't speak it. Don't hear it, speak it, and forget it. Do you have it down? Word departs, very, very important. But you shall meditate on it. Day and night. Does everybody see that? Now, to meditate, when you look that up, it says to muse. To muse. In other words, it means to chew on it. Like the chewing of the cud. All right, where they chew and chew, and they bring it back up and chew and chew, and they bring it back up and chew and chew. You understand? It's like squeezing the orange and getting every drop out you can. That's musing. It means to mutter. Now, the mutter is real interesting because it means that you take it in and you speak it to yourself. You're muttering it. Okay, do you see that? Now, I want to tell you, I'm hoping, I haven't got this sermon down yet, but I've worked on it, I want to show you how that muttering, where you take in the Word of God and you say it and you repeat it back to yourself, that muttering, it's like, oh my. I'm telling you, it's like the two-edged sword. Two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It separates. Only the Word of God can. Separates the soul from the spirit. Well, that's that sermon. I can't get there yet. But I'm telling you, it's very powerful for you to mutter the Word of God to yourself. It means to devise. Now, when you're devising something, it means that you're planning something deep down. And so it means to take that word and deep down, you're meditating on it, you're planning it. Okay? And another word for it is plot, to plot. It means that you're working every angle of it. Do you see that? Is that beautiful? It also means to imagine. Boy, we're going to go there. Because you meditate in your imagination room that God gave you. He gave it for the honor and glory of God, and that's where you take it. You take that word, and you put it in your imagination room, and you toll it over. And the Holy Spirit throws up on a screen like we've got here today for you to see and to observe. It means to ponder. And when you look all through New Testament, you see how many times that Mary pondered the things about Jesus in her heart. She was meditating on Christ in her heart. Is that beautiful? I want to tell you, that brings revelation. Hey, and it says day and night. Now, I have a lot of believers when I'm meeting, especially one-on-one, they'll say to me, I don't have time for that. Well, I want to tell you, if you don't have time to learn how to meditate, and we grow in it, okay? We train ourselves to meditate and focus on the Lord. But if you are not willing to follow the Lord and learn to meditate day and night, you don't have time for fruit. You don't have time for harvest. You don't have time to grow. I've had people tell me that. I just don't have time for that. Just pray over me and let's make it happen. And let me go on about my life. Wow. Come on now, somebody. I want to tell you, I wrote this down, and I'm going to tell you how I got this, because I'm having a little fellowship with my beautiful blonde, and the lights are out, and she turns on her phone, and she's looking over some of the book of face. And I'm looking at that beautiful face in the light of that cell phone, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I just saw something. There are people who would rather be in the light of their technology for hours every day and not be in the light of the Word. Now, I'm not speaking that about my beautiful blonde, because she spends great time in the Word of God. Matter of fact, it just really turns me on, because she's a woman of the Word. Does my heart good. But you understand that? Do I need to say it again? The average Christian would rather be in the light of their technology rather than be in the light of the Word of God. Okay, let's go back and let's look at Joshua 1:8 just a little bit more. Day and night, that you may observe. Somebody circle that word, observe. Let's take a look there, because it means to keep. Remember, it says not to depart. Let the word depart taken away, but it says to observe. Observe means the opposite of that. It means to keep. It means to preserve. It means to protect. And it also means, I love this description of it, to observe means to celebrate it. Isn't that great? We celebrate God in His Word. I want to tell you, His Word, according to what Jesus said, if you'll take my sayings, my words, they will bring joy to you. He also said they'll bring peace to you. And so if you're lacking a little bit in your fuel tank of joy and peace, where do you get it from? God in the Word. And by meditating on God in the Word, it will cause you to do according to all that's written in it. Now, this is what it does. It motivates you in your desires. Now, see, at this point, you may say, well, I just don't feel like it. I just don't have the desire. Well, I want to tell you, those change. You can be in charge of those. You can tell those wrong, lazy desires, and I'm thinking lazy because this morning, for the first time in many, many months, I hit the slothful button. You know what I mean, slothful button. When your phone says, this is when you want to get up, and I just, 7-8 more minutes. What good is that going to do? Don't respond. Don't be a part of the slothful button. But it will motivate your desires. See, it'll change your desires. I want to tell you what, His grace through His Word. You in His Word, grace comes. You humble yourself in the Word of God. Guess what? Grace comes to you. And I want to tell you how it shows up. You find His desire, His power, His presence manifesting in your life. And it causes you to be what He wants you to be. And it causes you to do what He wants you to do. It's outside of you. Anybody interested in that? That's the power of the Word. He'll change your desires. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Changes desires by the Word of God. Works for old men too. For then you shall make your way prosperous. You know what that means? Make your way prosperous. Because when you meditate on God in the Word, you're going to see the steps that He orders for you. All of a sudden it'll be like, you know, you're walking walking and it kind of looks dark, but the Word of God is a lamp to your feet. And you look down, you cannot see afar off, but you see the next step. And you realize the Lord is ordering my steps. And so you take the next step because He's given you wisdom. Wisdom comes from meditating on the Word of God. And you have the want to and you know the how to, at least for the next step. Amen? You shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely, because you're going to have the thoughts of God concerning a situation. And I want to tell you how important that is. Because we don't always read people well. I want to tell you, they can come up and smile and say, praise the Lord, and have an evil heart and have wrong desires. But I want to tell you, when you're meditating on God in the Word, and you're practicing hearing Him in the Word, then I want to tell you, you can hear the whisper of His voice, because He loves to protect. And He'll whisper to you and say, uh-uh on that one. Uh-uh. Well, it sounds good, looks good, feels good, but the Lord says, uh-uh. And the Lord's protecting you. Hey, if you're a pastor and you've got 37 employees and you've got a school with a bunch of kids around, and the Lord whispers to your heart, you've been in the Word, meditating on God in the Word, and the Lord whispers to your heart, send everybody home now. Tell the kids to go home, get the kids home, send all the employees home today. And you don't have a reason, but the Lord whispers it. And your heart's toward the Lord, and you obey that whisper of the Lord's heart. And just like that pastor in Lebanon a few months ago that did that very thing, sent his employees home, sent the children of the school home without any physical reason, and then a bomb goes off, a big explosion goes off in Lebanon that absolutely just tears apart blocks, tears apart their church. But every life was saved. Okay, I'm telling you, this is real. You know the Lord promised protection for you, provision for you, then you shall make your way prosperous. Are you worried about provision? Why don't you focus on the God of provision? Let's focus on the provider and get to know the provider, the protector, and you'll deal wisely and you'll have good success. You know, God's interested in your success. He wants you to succeed. He's not holding you back. If you want to know what's holding you back, you have to look in the mirror. You have to look at your soil. Because it's God's will, God's desire to cause you to succeed and to prosper and to be fruitful and multiply. Let's look at this a little more closely in Mark chapter 4. Wow, this time's we're having so much fun. It's going so fast. Verse 11, Mark 4, and he said to them, to you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, I want to tell you a little statement I hate. And sometimes when I'm witnessing, like I was sharing Christ at Walmart a few months ago, and a man told me, he said, well, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. No, He does not. That's not Bible. That's not a scripture. Okay, man, we want to copy these sayings. You don't put your allegiance on a wise fable or on a saying. You put your allegiance to the Word. But I want to tell you something. If you're a believer and you know Jesus, you don't have to walk around in mystery. You don't have to walk around in the dark in the unknown. You may not have the full picture, but like I said, He'll give you the next step. I want you to see what Jesus said to His disciples, because He told them after sharing this parable with the multitude, and the disciples come back, Lord, what do you mean by that? This is what He said to them. Hey, this is what He's saying to disciples today. Do you have ears to hear? And He said to them, to you, that means you, have been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable and they don't understand. This became real clear to me a few years ago when I had a number of people on a text and I was sending them some fresh bread. And I had one guy keep texting me back saying, I don't understand. I don't understand. And he did this over and over. And the disciple, after a couple of weeks, it hit me. He's not saved. He don't have ears to hear. He don't understand. Everything I was saying was a mystery. I want to tell you, we don't have to walk around in mystery because we know Him. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you receive ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He said, my sheep know my voice. They won't follow another one into mystery. Okay, so we get to know, hey, look, it's treasure. And it is hidden. And you got to get your shovel and get out and dig. You got to get the Bible off the shelf or out of your phone, and you got to read the Word of God. You got to take in the Word of God, because if you don't get your shovel out and you don't start digging, you're not going to find treasure. But I want to tell you, it's not treasure hidden from you. It's treasure hidden for you. Do you see the difference? I got a little video of my little grandgirls doing some Easter egg hunting, and I could not help it. I was hollering at little Lila. She's just over 2 years old. I was hollering at her on the phone. There it is. There it is. I mean, you're talking about hidden. They were all laid out in plain sight. Go get it, Lila. I want to tell you, that's what heaven is shouting for us. It's all there. I've got it right there in the Word. It's treasure that will absolutely enrich and change your life into God's success and God's prosperity, God's blessing in your life. It's all there. It's all been paid for. It's hidden for you, not from you. If we seek, if we knock, if we ask, he loves it when we do. Okay, verse 13. This is elementary. This is elementary wisdom. This is basic kingdom agriculture. It's the miraculous kingdom math of God. He said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? In other words, he's saying this. If you don't get this one, you're not going to get any of them. If you can't grasp this one, you're going to miss a whole lot. And so this is the basic, my friend. And so if you've never understood and had wisdom about any scripture in your life, you need to be a part of this series. You need to chew it. You need to grab it. You need to study it. You need to listen. You need to have the Holy Spirit give you revelation about this parable, because this parable has a whole lot to do with you growing in the kingdom of God for the rest of your life. That's how important it is. Wow. The sower sows the word. Verse 15, the ones along the path, somebody say sidewalk, are those who have heard, who have the word sown in their hearts, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes it away. When Jesus shared this to the crowd, he talked about the birds of the air. And you know what we do? We'll receive the word of God and we'll go home and let the birds of the airways. Man, you know I could stay there. There's more. And the next one is, that's hard soil hearts. The seed can't even get in. How about this? And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word of God, at once receive it, accept it, welcome it with joy. Those are hollow soil hearts. Somebody say the word shallow. I say shallow because there's no depth. Hey, it's like concrete and a few inches of soil on top. And there's not enough soil for it to really grow and produce. It may spring up quickly because the sun comes and heats that soil up to a great temperature for that seed to germinate. But I want to tell you, it can't have any root. And if it doesn't have any root, it's not going to have fruit. These are the ones upon stony ground. They hear the word of God. At once they accept and receive it and welcome with joy. You know, not everybody that shouts praise the Lord is growing in the Lord. I like to hear it too. But there's more to it. Okay? And look what happens to them. They have no real root in themselves. And so they endure for just a little while. But as soon as trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, now look, you better understand what this is saying. Do you know, after you get a message and you get some word and get some revelation and you get some good word and you say, oh, that was good, I'm going to live by that, I'm going to grab a hold of that, I'm going to make that my own, and then you go out and you experience trouble and you experience persecution, understand what this says. It's the enemy coming against you to steal that word. And so when you have an understanding that this is one of the wiles of the enemy, that trouble and persecution has come against you to steal the word, you know what it's about. Is it from God? No, it's from the enemy. They immediately are offended. I can't tell you how many times people get offended by the word. They'll be saying, amen, amen, amen. I'll tell you what, I've had staff that would go about saying that, honestly, it was almost like they thought me and Jesus hung the moon together. They would brag on me, what a man of God. Boy, man of God. Boy, ears from God. Whoa, man, I love that pastor, until I told them no. Until I corrected them. Until I had to give a little discipline. And then the next thing you know, he's missed God. He's lost the anointing. Whoa, that pastor, he got a heart. He don't hear. There's no anointing in the service no more. The Spirit of the Lord is left. I tell you stuff like that. I'm laughing about it now, but I want to tell you that stuff's real. I want to tell you, if you get offended by the word, do you understand that you are offended by Jesus? Because Jesus is the word. You got to look past a pastor's weight. You got to look past a pastor's personality and see what Jesus is saying. But if what Jesus is saying is offending you, you don't have to blame the mailman. It's okay if you do. But I want to tell you, you don't have to blame the mailman because you're offended at Jesus. My. They fall away. Next thing you know, the FBI can't find them. The Family Bureau of Investigation can't find them. Where'd they go? And the ones sown among the thorns, you know, we've already touched on this, are others who hear the word, but that half-hearted soil allows thorns to come in. Cares, fears, distractions of pleasure, riches, other passions. What are you passionate about? You see, that's a real good question. What are you passionate about? I want to tell you, we hang out with you a little bit. If you're passionate about fishing, you know what we're going to hear pretty soon? If you're passionate about guns, you know what we're going to hear pretty soon? Hey, nothing wrong with guns and fishing. But I want to tell you, if you're not passionate about Jesus, if Jesus is down the list from that, there's a lot of men that are passionate about their job. I understand what's happening there because a lot of times men will identify themselves. Their identification is related to their job. Well, it's got to be related to Christ. Your identification needs to be in Christ because your job can do you wrong. Your identification's got to be on Christ. But if you're passionate about Jesus, there's not going to be any doubt. Because you know what we're going to hear about pretty soon? We're going to hear about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings. I'm telling you, he's beautiful. But I want to tell you, you say, well, brother, Tim, it's just conversation. Really, let me tell you something. What we think about the most is what we talk about the most. My. Okay. The cares, anxieties of the world, distractions of the age. Boy, we could point there. Pleasure, delight, deceitfulness of riches. I've already talked on this. They sneak in and they choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? Oh, come on. I'm just saying to you, you've been at the same level for a decade. You've been walking in the same level of blessing for a decade. Or you wonder, where's it gone? Where's the promises? It's not on God. God did good. He's not a God that he should lie. His promises are forever true. You know what? It's the soil. And those who are sown on the good, well-adapted soil. Come on now, this is wholeheartedness. You've seen half-heartedness. This is wholeheartedness. This is what the kingdom of God thrives on, is wholeheartedness. Okay, if you're more passionate about other things, then you're not wholehearted for the Lord. And those sown on good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept it and welcome it and bear fruit. I want to tell you, the proof's in the fruit. Where's the fruit? Some 30, some 60, some even 100 times as much. I want to tell you, that's what I'm committed to. I'm committed to 100-fold. What do you want? What are you believing for? What are you living for? God's Word's incorruptible seed is either reproducing kingdom life or it's waiting on the shelf to be planted. Man, that's a big statement right there, because it's got to get out of the pages and into your heart. It's got to go through the brain into the heart, but it's got to get out of the pages first. Where is it? Where's the seed? Where's the seed? Fruitful and abundant life is waiting to be planted in your heart. The miraculous reproducing seed has to be sowed in the heart. And get this, it has to be kept there. Did you get that from reading Mark 4? That the seed is either choked out or it's taken away or it's shallow? Then I want to tell you, the seed that stays in good soil is the seed that's going to reproduce. Don't let the birds or the airwaves come steal away the power of the word. Resist the weed seeds of unbelief and antichrist, because they're everywhere. There's broadcasting being done everywhere, every day. The devil steals the nourishment of the soil in your heart with weed seeds and thorns. I tried to explain this the other day. I don't think it came out too good, because I share with the mountain movers what's fresh off the griddle. But in my mind, I saw a picture, and it goes something like this, that every day, I'm speaking on a daily way, you have a certain amount of nourishment in your heart. And the seed that you're allowing to be planted there, if it's a seed of the incorruptible Word of God, that nourishment is going to the Word of God. It will grow roots first, and then beneath, and then on top. And then it will produce fruit if you keep it, if you shower it with the love of God. Okay, and you walk in love life with the Lord, it produces good soil. The stones get taken out, you know, the thorns and the weeds get taken out by the love life with Jesus. It's the weed feed. But here's the deal. There's only so much nourishment every day. So, hey, what I'm saying to you is that if this day you're filling your heart with the passions of the world, with stuff that people may clap about, but it's not about kingdom and love life with Jesus, and you're filling your heart with those seeds steal the nourishment of the day. Do you see that? I hope you do. Man, that was a great picture. There's not a problem with the seed. It's the Word of God. It's dynamic. The devil knows it. That's why one of his greatest strategy, you see, don't study the devil. But we're to understand the wiles of the devil. And one of the strategies of the devil is to do everything he can do to steal the word out of your life. Because if he steals, if the word stays planted in your life, you're one of the number one enemies of the kingdom of darkness. Because kingdom life is going to be multiplied in you, and you're going to walk and talk and smell like Jesus. He don't want that. He wants to keep you from the word. Is his strategy working? Psalm 107:20. And he sends forth his word and heals them and rescues them from the pit of destruction. Now, let me tell you something. His word is so powerful it heals and delivers. But you know what? It takes more than memorization. I had somebody over my home about a year ago, and they wanted me to pray for their healing. And I prayed for their healing, but also instructed them about getting in the word. And you know what they said to me? Oh, I'm not really about all that, because I know there's a scripture. Let's see. What is it? Something about stripes? So I already do that. I didn't know. Do they do that? When they don't even know the scripture? It takes a big difference between reading it and being saturated with it in your heart till your heart is engrafted to it. The soil becomes one with the seed, and it begins to grow and take root, and then it can produce fruit to the place where what you believe and what you understand and what you give allegiance to is the Word of God over the works of the world or the pain of your body or what the doctor says. Can somebody say amen? And so it's got to go from the logos to the rhema. It's got to go from the page to the personal. Proverbs 4. Wow, I'm kind of out of time. Let me run through a couple things. Proverbs 4 tells us to attend, to give allegiance, to give your ear to, your attention to the words of God. We're to consent and submit to it. Keep them in our sight. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like meditation? We're to keep them in the center of our heart. Does that sound like meditation to you? Okay. And the Bible says in Mark 4:22, they are life. They're life to those who find them. If you seek, you're going to find. This is treasure. This is revelation. You find them, there's healing and health to all your flesh. I want to tell you, one of your greatest keys to your health, healing, and divine health is not a medication. It's the Word of God. if you're on medication, take medication. But I want to tell you, your first allegiance ought to be to Jesus, and it ought to be to the Word of God. This is what he promises. Keep and guard your heart with all diligence. Above all, that you guard it, for out of it flows the springs of life. You don't want to let the weed seeds in. Out of your heart flows the issues of your life. Now, when someone's talking to me and they're talking to me about all their issues, I can tell where they've been parking. You don't have to tell me what's been planted in your garden. All I got to do is look. What kind of fruit's coming out of there? I can tell you. And so I'm telling you, the issues of your life reveal what's been sown in your heart. If it's kingdom, it's obvious. This is something we can do. Put away from you false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk far from you. Now, what I'm saying about this is that we take those weed seeds. See, your words are seeds. And if you say, well, I'm going to spend time, I believe, and I'm going to spend time, there's some kind of scripture about stripes, and, you know, I'm just going to just hang on till he knows where I am. He come heal me when he gets ready. And then you begin to speak weed seeds, because this is what it's talking about. Right after this, you got to understand to guard your heart and don't speak weed seeds. If you speak weed seeds, you can cancel out the progress of the word seed. That's what verse 19 said in Mark. The weed seeds can choke out the word seed. You know what it speaks of? A divided heart. You know what it speaks of? A double mind. 1 Peter 2 talks about that he bore our sins on the body, on his own body. And by his wounds we've been healed. And so there's a direct connection between forgiveness and healing. And I'll tell you, see, Jesus will show you this. And when he shows you how forgiven you are, you understand, and you'll understand and have revelation, that the same price he paid for your sins also paid for your healing. It was once and for all. It was done. And in the same way that Jesus don't want you walk around in sin, he don't want you walk you around in sickness. He paid for both. But we need to have an understanding of forgiveness. Or else you won't believe that you deserve to receive it. You've got to do some kind of aerobics to make it happen. Forgiveness and healing are personalized from the cross. That comes from meditating on God. Ephesians 1:3, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Boy, that's in the Word. And I want to tell you, he's blessed us in Christ with all spiritual blessings. When you meditate on God in the Word, you'll see that this has got your name on it. Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And when you're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, this is something the Holy Spirit can give you as you meditate on God in the Word, that you've already got the fruit of the Spirit. You're not trying to earn it. You're not trying to deserve it. You're not trying to attain it. It's a big difference between attaining and obtaining. We obtain it because of Christ. Okay? Now, look, I had a pastor one time who was rude. I wouldn't tell you he was rude. Sometimes he was just rude to people. And in private, I would appeal to him and say, brother, that didn't, I know you probably didn't mean to, that didn't come out right. Man, it really sounded prideful. And, you know, you were just really blunt and strong, and there's probably a nicer way we could say that. And he rebuked me, and this is what he said. He said, look, he said, you got to understand, you got to study the personality traits, because you got to understand I'm a choleric, and that's just the way God made me. And you understand the way God made me, you'll understand that's just the way I am. That's the way God made me. No, no, no. Because I want to tell you something. According to Ephesians right here, verse 23, it talks about gentleness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so if you claim to be rude and that's just the personality God gave you and it's not your fault, you're wrong. Is somebody going to say amen? You can't use your personality trait as an excuse. When he's filled you with his Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit dwells in you, I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit shows you that it's already that gentleness, that self-control, hey, look, that's already in you. I want to tell you. I had to tell a man one time because he came in to our church in order for me to minister to him. But he's sitting through the service, and he's taking everything in. And after the service, I said, well, because I like to hear from other people, and especially preachers, I'll say, tell me what you saw. And, you know, because I want to hear. And, man, he began to point out so many things wrong. This and this and this and this person and this didn't. And that just absolutely stunk over there. And you need to change this and change that. I said, whoa, wait. I said, let's back up and see what the Lord was saying to you. He said, well, you need to hear these things. He said, you got to understand I'm a prophet. I said, no, you're not. You're just a person with a critical spirit. There's a difference between a prophet and a critical spirit. And I said, do you do this at the place where you're from? He said, well, yeah, because I'm a prophet. I said, it's no wonder you got so much mess at your church, because you're operating out of a critical spirit. Do you understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is greater than whatever personality trait that you have? If we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill our personality traits that are negative. Man, I don't know how else to put it. His Word reveals to us what we really are. Complete in Christ. His Holy Spirit takes His Word and transforms us to live out and walk out our completeness in Christ. By grace through faith. Well, that's about all. I've taken up too much time. I'm going to have to call a timeout right here. And I guess this will be our introduction next week. Oh, my, my, my. I love you so much. I'm trying to give you life. But you got to have an allegiance to the Word of God. Let me just say to you, if you take the little, you remember the little bread scriptures? You remember the little loaf of bread and you pull a scripture out every day? I don't remember what that's called. You can tell I didn't respect it too much. Because if that's all you get every day, hun, you're going to starve. I want to tell you, we live in a world where we're bombarded with stuff. We got to learn how to meditate on God and the Word and put our focus and our priority on the passions of Jesus. And you know what? We got to be able to weed feed, walk in the love of Jesus to say no. And He gives us the power to say no. Let me tell you how to say no to the things you're hooked on that don't bring honor and glory to God. You say yes to Jesus first. And when you say yes to Jesus first, you have that flow of His Spirit, His power, to say no to whatever the enemy brings up, whether it seems to be good or not. That's the power. He gives us the power to say yes. And in the power of saying yes, we have the power to say no. Isn't that great? Well, I want to tell you, I'm going to encourage you this week. We've got the Confessions of a Believer in your bulletins, and we'll be sharing with you guys that are watching about what all that is and how to see that. But I'm telling you, we're for you. The Word of God works if we apply it. Okay? The truth will set you free if you apply it. If you leave it in the pages or you leave it on a shelf, it don't work. But you get it in good soil, you get it in your heart. I want to tell you, it'd take a miracle in reverse for the kingdom of God to not be multiplied. And we all want that. And all the people said, amen. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Let's kick off right here next week. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.